We'll take our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And this morning we'll be looking at the man named Joseph. Now, I've called Joseph the forgotten servant. I believe there is a lot of forgotten servants of Christmas. Of course, we know who Joseph is, but often we don't focus much on Joseph. But the Gospel of Matthew does, in fact, focus a lot on Joseph and his role as a man who trusted and obeyed God. You'll see this in chapter 1 and also in chapter 2. But let's read our text from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and we'll be reading through verse 25. This is the word of God. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is God's word. Oh, Father in heaven, we ask that you would bless us, your people, as we meditate on your word, as we ruminate on your word this morning. O feed us, Holy Spirit, that indwells us, your people, so that not only would we know it, but we would apply it as well to our lives, seeking to live as Joseph did, under the power and the grace of Almighty God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph's dreams are falling apart. When you come into the story, there's so much more happening in the narrative. Here's a man who's expecting to be married. He's in the betrothal period of time. And this betrothal period of time could have been quite long or quite short. The kudishin lasted for some time, but it was legally binding. So here's a young man. He's probably no more than 20. He is preparing to be married. He's preparing for the wedding feast to happen and for him and Mary to live the rest of their lives together. But his dreams are crashing, aren't they? The woman that he had come to know, that beautiful face on the streets of Nazareth, that young lady who was known as a righteous woman, well, he's heard that she's with child. It's not his. Imagine you're Joseph. What do you do? What do you do? Because everything you know about Mary is that she's righteous. She is a righteous woman. And you want to marry her. You have a house ready for her. That's what you've been preparing as a carpenter. You have a place for her. And so you could see this drama happening, unfolding in the heart of a young man who was hoping to spend the rest of his life with Mary. It's not going to be. It's not going to be. That's the drama you enter in the story. It's a drama in which you could imagine the world is spinning for young Joseph. But the text is very clear for us. It helps us to know him. He was righteous, wasn't he? He was a righteous man. A righteous man. And I want us to focus on that. What we know about righteous men in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, is they are men who meditate on the word day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So what was he doing as he was contemplating what to do? What would a young man who knew the Torah quite well since he was a boy be doing? What would he be meditating upon as he made a decision whether to divorce her or not? Well, he would have been meditating on the Word of God, of course, wouldn't he? Now, what does the Word of God say about, in this context, adultery? Because it was a binding agreement between two families, between a man and a woman. And Deuteronomy 22 speaks like this, and it is harsh. If, however, the charge is true and no proof of the girl's virginity can be found, she shall be brought to the door of her father's house, and there the men of her town shall stone her to death. She has done a disgraceful thing in Israel by being promiscuous while still in her father's house. You must purge the evil from among you. You could imagine that text is there. Now, there was no ability for the Jews to commit, punish the capital crime of death. But he also knew other biblical texts, didn't he? You could almost see him meditating on Moses in Exodus 34:6. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation." You can hear the wrestling. These are texts that would have been familiar to Joseph. He knows God is compassionate. He knows that God does not treat us as our sins deserve. And so there's this wrestling happening as he's meditating on what he ought to do. And he also knows the Psalms, doesn't he? The Psalms would have been something that he would have sung, that he would have prayed in the synagogue and at home. And Psalm 103, verse 10 is, well, it's wondrous. He says, "He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him." Mary feared him. He knew Mary feared the Lord. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Is that not the God we serve? A forgiving God? A compassionate God who doesn't remember our sins? And isn't he like a compassionate father to his children? The Lord has compassion on those who fear him." You hear, there's so much more in the story, isn't there? Because the characters are not just wooden, they're real. Joseph was a real man who lived in a real culture, immersed in the Torah, immersed in the Psalms, and a man who's wrestling for a woman that he loves. What to do? We see in the text that he is going to divorce her quietly. That would probably be just the two parties there, probably from within their family, so it wouldn't have gotten out into the community. And that she would have been able to go away to, well, we know in the story, she went to Elizabeth, didn't she? And Zechariah's home. So he wrestles. You can almost imagine him saying too, "You spared David's life, didn't you? He murdered Uriah and had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba." I mean, you can imagine what's happening in his heart. But I think what's important for us, I think it's very important for us, the righteous meditate on the Word of God, no matter the circumstances that come to our life. Because life is always seeking to smash your dreams. But how do we deal with the disappointments that come our way? Many are coming. Many are right here. Many have just fallen into your lap this week. How do you deal with disappointments? How do you make sense of them? How do you put your disappointments in perspective? Well, the righteous man, the righteous woman, he goes, I need to hear from God first. Not from my accountant. Not from the television or the self-help gurus. I need to hear from God first. I need to hear his voice. I need to hear about his affections and his compassion and his mercy and his holiness. I need to hear from God. That's Joseph. That is Joseph. And in the midst of all of this, he wants to be kind. You see, the righteous mirror the kindness of God, don't they? They're not always looking for the speck in someone else's eye. The righteous know they have a log in their own eye. They're not always looking for fault. No, you're looking to be merciful. Who do you want to reflect? A judgmental, angry man or woman who's always right and never wrong? Or do you want to reflect God's compassion for sinners and mercy upon people who do not deserve mercy? Whose image do you want to reflect? Well, the Christian says, I want to reflect the image of God. I want to reflect his glory. I want to reflect his compassion. I want to reflect his love. And I do believe Joseph is such a man. He wants to reflect the kindness of God. And so he chooses not to expose her publicly disgrace. I mean, he's hurt. What often happens when we're hurt? We tend to bite back, don't we? When somebody hits you, what do? You tend to hit back? We're quite reactive when we get hurt. But he's a man who wants to mirror the kindness of God. And so he goes to bed. We don't even know if he went to bed. I don't know if he's sleeping. I don't know if he took a nap. I don't know if he was at the carpenter's table or if he was doing some stone masonry in Zippori, which is Sepphoris, which was a town to the north, which has lots of construction from that very period. We really don't know. But it says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Angels really don't care if you're in bed. You don't have to be asleep to have a vision from an angel. Zechariah had a vision of an angel, and the angel was standing right next to the altar of incense in the temple. And so this angel shows up, the angel of the Lord, and there's only one response to the angel of the Lord in all of Scripture. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you came. It's always to be afraid, because the angel says that right away, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. But he says something very interesting. He doesn't talk about himself, does he? In the text, he does not talk about himself. He says, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Oh, what is the angel maybe revealing about Joseph? A fear? Maybe there is, some unrighteousness in this man. There is some kind of fear. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. He's afraid. Not only of the angel, he's afraid of the circumstance in which he has been, well, he has found himself. But the angel says, do not be afraid to take Mary home. Do not worry about what people will say in this community, because what is in there is from the Holy Spirit. She is a righteous young woman. She fears the Lord. She is God's chosen instrument. What is in her is from the Holy Spirit, speaking of the incarnation where God became man and dwelt among us. But it's that Son of David title that he gives to Joseph that is so interesting for us, the reader. Really, the angel is saying, you come from a good lineage. You come from a great lineage. You come from the line of David. Now, here is a simple carpenter in the city of Nazareth, which is a no, you know, it's called Shoot Town. It's another way of calling it. There's a lot of olives grows there, and so there's lots of olive shoots coming out of the ground. It's Shoot Town. No one cares about Shoot Town. But he says, you come from a great line. You're from the lineage of David himself. And what is very important for us, the reader, and for the audience in which Matthew was addressing, is they would have known something about a son of David. You find that in Jeremiah 33, 14, 15, in those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. The righteous branch is supposed to come through the lineage of David. And that's exactly what the angel is telling Joseph. The prophecy is being fulfilled. The lineage of that shoot has come to be. The Messiah has come, and it is in Mary currently. You have a great lineage. And the promises made to David are come, have come about. They've come to fruition. What you've been hoping for, the coming of the Messiah, all of your life since you were a little boy, is now here in the womb of your betrothed, Mary. You know, brothers and sisters, too, we have a great lineage as well. We are called sons and daughters of God. And how did that come about? That came about because of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shoot of David that came into the world. And we came to faith in him. We were born of the Spirit of Christ. And how do we now pray? How do we finish our prayers? In Jesus' name. Because that's your name, and that's why we're called Christians. Even though Christian can be used poorly, Christian is a good word that begins, really, it means we're in Christ. We follow Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, we have a great name. Just like Joseph had a great name, because we've become part of this story through faith in the shoot that came from the womb of Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ our Lord. And of course, we have a great hope. A great hope. And that verse, verse 21, really speaks of that great hope. And I will read it again. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now he says, now I want to continue on, because there's the context. The proceeding says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will give birth to a child and the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is from the prophet Isaiah again, 7 verse 14. And that same figure is spoken of in Isaiah chapter 9, 6. We know this text well. We hear it every Christmas. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Well, the zeal of the Almighty has come. It's come upon Mary. The zeal of the Almighty has come upon Joseph. And this great hope is a wondrous hope, isn't it? Because he will save his people from their sins. This God with us will save his people from their sins. And I want us to look really briefly at the name, Jesus. What does it mean? What is the Hebrew equivalent? Yeshua. Yeshua is the word we get Joshua from. Yahweh saves. The Lord saves. So Jesus is even to be given a name that demonstrates what he's going to do. He's going to save. And what is he going to save us from? What separates God and man from each other? The Bible is very clear, our sin. And every single one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, every one of us. And many have sinned in horrific ways. But Jesus came for sinners. It's a rescue plan for people who don't deserve the love of God. And Joseph, it's come to your household. Yes, I've dashed your plans. Now everything's up in arms. Everything's been turned upside down. But it's for the good of the world. It's for the good, as the text says, of his people. And what do we know about Jesus' people? Who are Jesus' people? Not only Jews, but also Gentiles. I have sheep that are not from this fold or sheep pen. I must go get them too. I think you're all Gentiles mostly here. There might be some Jewish descent here. I do not know. But it looks like a lot of goy here, okay? There's a lot of goy going on here in the sanctuary. And thanks be to God that the good news of saving people from sin was not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles as well. And, you know, you can almost hear John the Baptist. He's on the shores of the Jordan River, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." John's doing what? He's pointing to Jesus. Jesus is Joshua, or Yeshua, or Jesus. Joshua 2 is pointing us to who? Joseph is pointing us to Jesus. He's pointing us to God with us. Could you imagine that morning, or was it the afternoon, or was it the evening when Jesus was born? Joseph knew this. This is God with us. This little baby boy. God with us. Meditate on that. Ruminate on that. God with us. God with rebellious, sinful, poor people. God with undeserving people. And he's come to rescue us. He's come to be like us, fully, fully man and fully God, for he needed to become fully man in order to atone for sin, but fully God in order to atone for the sin of all of his people. And that's what Jesus is. And Joseph is brought into the drama. And what is Joseph's response to the wondrous news that his son, or should we say Mary's son, is being sent to save the world? What's his response? I'll read it briefly. When Joseph woke up, he is sleeping. Or maybe he passed out. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's exactly what Joseph does. Exactly what Joseph does. He goes with the huppah. That's the celebration of that marriage. It could be 7 days long. He goes right away. He marries Mary, just as the angel instructed him. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he named him Jesus, or Yeshua, or Joshua. Yahweh saves. He is a righteous man. The righteous trust the word of God. Isn't that simply what is happening here? The righteous trust the word of God. They don't trust their own righteousness. They don't trust in their own performance. But they do trust in the word of God. They do trust in the voice of God. They trust when he speaks. And that's what the proverb says. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This is the righteous man. This is the righteous woman. They trust the word of God. It's exactly what Joseph does. He trusts the word of God, and the righteous obey the word of God. You can hear the Lord Jesus Christ in the upper room say to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Cadets, you know that, right? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Joseph loves the Lord, And that's exactly what he does. He obeys. And you again see it in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. Now again, chapter 2, verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. Every time he hears the word of the Lord, he obeys. Three times in the narrative about Joseph, you see always Joseph responding to the word of God with obedience. And Carson and Nyla, that is what God is calling you and me and all the saints to do. To trust him and obey him. Trust and obey. I believe the word of God is very clear. This is the happy life, to trust and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. This, the narrow path, is the happy life. And this trust and obey is a way the godly mirror God, don't they? This trust and obey is the way the godly mirror God in the power of God's glorious grace. We understand that none of us can trust and obey fully from a heart filled with God's glory without God's grace. If the power of the Holy Spirit is not in you, your trusting and obedience is not from a source of God's deliverance. Because trusting and obeying comes from the very reality that you are born again of the Spirit of God. Because true faith comes from who? It is a gift. Not by works, so that none of us will boast. It's a gift. And it comes about by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, we trust in the finished work of Jesus who came to save sinners. And in that moment, we begin to have a new desire to listen to him and to listen to his commands and do what he says. So truly the godly mirror of God in the power of God's glorious grace to us, not in our own. Brothers and sisters, trust and obey, for there is no other way. To be happy or joyous in Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we ask that you would bless your people as they go out to serve this week, that they too would be like Joseph, no matter what circumstances come their way, no matter what disappointments are thrown into their lap, they would be like Joseph, seeking to trust and obey, seeking to meditate on your word and listen to your word, and so faithfully mirror God to their loved ones, to their place at work, and to the world. And we do it because of what you did first. We love because you first loved us and changed our hearts and our lives. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us, that you sent Jesus to die for us so that we might be forever yours. Amen.